Isaiah chapter 3, and I don't plan on preaching a long time. I believe we're going to be out of here just a couple minutes before 7 tonight. So if you'll listen to me, I think I'm going to teach more than preach. If you missed this morning's message, the challenge, you go on our website Tuesday and hear it. It will change your life. I preached a sermon this morning, The Difference Between Happiness and Joy. And you, if you don't know the difference, happiness, and I'll give you the basic outline, happiness is what happens around you. It's circumstances. Joy is what you have when things are going against you. You cannot have joy without opposition. You have to have opposition in order to have joy. Joy is what you are. It's not because of what's happening. And it's a powerful truth. If you'll get it, it'll change your life. All right, Isaiah chapter 3. We're going to read verses 4 through 12 together. Let's read responsively. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 through 12. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. By the way, that's not women. Babes, meaning infants, shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. Isaiah 3, verse number 6. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat of the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. In verse 12, let's all finish together. Ready? As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. And O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Lord, maybe a bit of a state of the country address, state of the union, state of the church, just a little bit of a challenge to realize where we are and what our role is. Please help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Our world is just about totally nuts. It's insanity. It has changed so much in the 51 years I have been alive. It's scary. Our country has changed more in the last 20 years than the last 100 years previous to it. You document world history, you'll find out the change is that dramatic. The rapture cannot be too far away. I mean that. The stage is set. All the pieces are in place and have been in place for many, many years. I used to hear Brother Heil say, watch Turkey, watch Iraq, watch Iran. Those are the three countries in Syria. Because all of those players, and by the way, you hear the nation of Turkey in the news now more than ever. You see, we just need to work hard as we can to get the gospel out to every person we can. What used to be bad and evil and wrong, even by the world standard, is now taught to be normal. Now, if you're moral, a Christian, or stand for right, you're wrong and you're evil and you're bad. Did you know there was a day when, and this is not a critical statement, but there was a day when people that weren't married didn't live together. They called it shacking up, and if you did, you were disgraced. If a lady got pregnant out of wedlock, everybody tried to hide that person because they were shamed. It's amazing how few of those things really happen. Now it's an everyday occurrence. It used to be that adult leaders ran things. Let me say that again. It used to be that adult leaders ran things. People used to respect bosses, business people, parents, and even politicians to lead people to a level of right. Isn't it amazing? Our forefathers, some would call Thomas Jefferson a non-believer, and yet he believed in God. He read the Bible every day. Say, was he a Christian? I don't know that. But even he believed in God. By the way, there was no such thing as evolution. That's why you see it talks about the Creator and everything being capital C. Everybody doing all right? He said, well, they weren't educated enough to understand that there was evolution. Isn't it? Anyway, I'm not going there. That's a different sermon. There is nothing wrong with a leader leading followers. And yet now, if someone becomes successful, we think they're evil. If someone makes more money than we think they should have, then they must be corrupt. You see, now leaders are mean, evil, wicked people, and followers tell the leader what to do. Let's go back in history 35 years, when I entered the work world. When I started working 35 years ago, Brother Mike, you didn't go in and tell your boss what you wanted for a pay. You actually went in and filled out a paper application, sat there, and hopefully either that day or they called you back for an interview. They didn't ask you, how much money do you want to make? They told you how much the position paid. You didn't fill in the box. Well, and at that time, when I entered the work world, minimum wage was $2.85 an hour. Now, I understand gas was also 70 cents a gallon, too. And I realized the cost of living has changed dramatically, but they didn't talk about $15 an hour minimum wage. Minimum wage was not intended to be something that you live on. That's right. It was entry-level work into the workforce. It was for those who maybe had inabilities mentally or physically to do much more than that kind of work. But it was, honestly, minimum wage was for young people to get their feet wet and get some character training, get them entry level into the work world, learn some character. Amen. It was not intended to be lifelong. Used to be that adults led schools. Used to be the teacher had the ability to lead a class, teach a class, and paddle the students if they got out of line. Okay, how many of you understand what it means to get, or knew that teachers that paddled students, all right? Maybe you didn't get it, but all right, most everybody in here over the age of 40, 45 remembers that. You also remember, if you got paddled at school, you got one when you got home too. You say, how did they find out? I don't know, but most of the time, even the public schools called the parents. You see, now teachers are way overpaid to babysit and propagandize kids with filth, evil, and communism. Right. Public education today is nothing but a propagandizing tool for the liberal, communist, socialist governments. The students now rule the schools, and sports has become a god in our schools. You drive by Martinsburg High School, they are now playing basketball games and sports games on Sundays. That's wicked as hell. Sorry. I'm just going to tell it like it is. We have children taught to make babies in grade school and wonder why so many children have babies in high school. Everybody doing okay? I looked the statistics up, and in Berkeley County, Martinsburg High School alone, just one high school, 1,300 students, there were over 100 girls that had babies in 2017. But we taught them how to start doing it in grade school. We get sickened at that, but all they're doing is performing their homework. That doesn't include the ones that had abortions. Those are the ones that actually had babies. Everybody doing all right? God tells us in the Bible about this generation in which we live. We read in Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, and verses 12 and verse 9, exactly where we live today. Let me show you what I mean. Look again at the Bible. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Children will tell leaders what leaders will do. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. That word base against honorable means the employee against the employer. Right. Disrespect. Look at verse number 6. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be our ruler. That's the fashion industry. Because you dress a certain way, you should be our leader. Is that not what it says? Look at verse number 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, and they hide it not. Folks, the Sodomites are the LGBTQ and alphabet soup people. They're the homosexuals of our day, the transgender, non-gender people of today. And the Bible says they hide it not. Back in the 80s, you had some, they called it coming out of the closet. Anybody remember that? Say why? Because they were hiding up until then because everybody beat the snot out of them. Say, that's not very nice. We didn't have many of them back then either. I realize that I will not be politically correct tonight. But I am not trying to be politically correct. I'd rather be biblically correct. Amen. Yes. I don't want to be correct with people like the Clintons, Pelosi, Maxine Waters, Bernie Sanders, this Cortez idiot lady, the Kennedys, the Schumers. I would rather be correct with God. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Mm-hmm. America needs a revival of adults in America. America needs a revival of godly adult leadership. America needs a revival of manly leadership. Amen. Now, hang on. I'm not against ladies. God knows. My mama's a woman, my wife's a woman, and my daughter's a woman. I'm not going to say what Brother Hiles used to say. He said, I'm a half woman because my mom was a woman. I am not half woman. But today's society could not handle that statement. That would go around the world. I am not against ladies, but I know what God says and how much better it is to do it God's way. And if you'll listen to me, say, well, a woman can do anything a man can do. That's not true. And there are things a woman can do a man cannot do. Thank God I am not having no baby. Glory to God. Now, just because somebody can do something you can do doesn't, and by the way, it doesn't mean that it's right. I'm not talking about harsh, brutish dictatorship. I'm not talking about talking down to a woman. I'm talking about letting a woman's role be elevated to where it's supposed to be. Did you know the word housewife is a good word, not a bad word? Did you know that baking and cooking and sewing and taking care of the house and keeping things clean is not a bad thing? My grandma, neither one of them had any schooling, passed about 8th grade. But you ask my wife, both of them could cook like nobody's business. And they weren't fancy chefs, but they could take the meagerest of ingredients and turn it into something that was worth sitting down at the table for. And if my grandmother ever saw a box of food, she'd throw it away. If you made box macaroni and cheese, she wouldn't eat that stuff. No. Now, I'm talking about men that know how to lead biblically like God leads. You know, God's not harsh. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. I was talking to a young preacher this week, and I made the statement to him. I said, God's people are called sheep, not cattle. We're supposed to lead like a shepherd, not drive like a cowboy. Right. Too many leaders want to drive people like a cowboy. They don't want to walk out in front and lead like a shepherd. You serve sheep. You don't drive sheep. Right. Sheep don't serve you. You serve them. Amen. Everybody doing okay? Man is not God. And we should never think that we are. And we can never take his place even in the home. For instance, as an assistant pastor, I realized the pastor was still the pastor. There were times I had leadership, but I still had that title above me, preacher. I used to say the buck stops at his end of the desk and the other end stops at my end. I got to clean things up. I got the dirty jobs. I signed up for it and did it for 23 years. Love it. And I get to do them all. It's fine. You see, I knew my role. There were times I was in disagreement with the leader, but I did what the leader said and shut my mouth and didn't tell anybody who disagreed. Say, why? Because he's the one that had to hang for it, not me. Doesn't mean everything I did I was in agreement with, but there are things that you're going to do when you're the leader that people under you aren't going to agree with either. And you want them to shut their mouth and do it your way, whether it succeeds or fails. Amen. Everybody doing all right? God knows I love every person. God knows I would like to reach and influence every person we can for Christ. Every color, every size, every age, everybody. Right. Race doesn't mean anything to me. Red and yellow, black and white, doesn't matter. I don't care how big, how small, how fat, how skinny, how tall, how short. I don't care if they're Polack, Italian. I don't care if they're German. Don't care if they're Russian. Don't care if they're Mexican. Don't care if they're Venezuelan. Or I don't care if they're just plain old Indian American. Amen? Can I tell you something? Your soul has no color. Who cares? Amen. Neither does anybody else's. I want a church full of children. But that means I need a church full of adults who know how to care for the children. We could double or triple our attendance by buying a bus or two and filling it up and bringing them in. But may I say this, if it's all we do is trying to get a number, what good is it? If we don't have the people in place to take care of them and lead them and teach them and guide them, what good is bringing them here? Everybody doing all right? I want a church full of teenagers. But that means I need a church full of adults who know how to lead and love teenagers. I love youth work. I love teenagers. I do. I understand teenagers better than most. Believe me. I understand them more than they know I understand them. But may I say something? I got to have adults that know how to help me help love them, help take care of them, help guide them, help direct them, help love on them even when they don't even know what love is. Everybody doing all right? I want a church full of adults, but I need men who know how to lead them. Everybody doing okay? This means that the hope of the church, listen to this, is not in the kids or the teenagers. The hope of the church is in the adults, not the children. Boy, is that a flip-flop philosophy. The hope of the church is adults who know how to train everybody else how to act and live godly. Why, it's the youngest one here tonight. He just turned 6. He's not going to get up and teach teen Sunday school class. He hadn't been there. All right? We've got some teenagers here tonight. And good kids. But can I tell you something? They're not going to get up and teach adult classes. I need adults to teach all of those levels. When the babies are here, we don't need 6-year-olds taking care of babies. That is not a good thing. Especially if they're 6-year-old boys. Yeah. The kids will be stuck to the walls and the diapers will be on everybody's heads. And you get to clean up the rest of the mess because the diaper was on the head. All right? We need a revival of adults in our churches today. Everybody doing okay? if we reach the adults, especially if we reach the men, the rest will follow. I thank God we have a manly church here. And if you notice, our church isn't harsh or mean or nasty. It's got a great spirit. You see, life is not to be all about the children or the forgotten. It's about reaching people who can reach people who can reach people. We've got to center. And by the way, I don't think that we ought to fish with a fishing line. I think we ought to catch the whole net full. But we're going to have to take the ones out that can reproduce and let them reproduce. In other words, it's time for the Christians and the adults in our churches today to grow up. Now, let me give you two or three points and I'm done. No poem. Number one, society is not supposed to be all about the child. We live in a society to where the babes rule over the adults. Everything in our society today is about children. Oh, the most important thing is a child. The most important thing is our kids. The most important thing is our grandkids. No, it's not. It's you living like you're supposed to live so that you can teach them what to do. We have catered the wrong direction. We are going backwards, not forwards. Everybody doing okay? Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 127. I want to show you something. I'll illustrate it, and it may surprise you. Psalm 127. I want you to look at one verse here. Psalm 127, look, two verses. Verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, let me ask you a question. What is an arrow for? Shooting. Before I left for church tonight, I went down to my basement and I grabbed two arrows out of my bow case. That right there is a carbon graphite arrow that I shoot out of my PSE Thunderbolt. And that one has not been used to kill anything, and that one has. I can tell by how they've been used. That's got a field tip on it. That is for practice. That's for if I was shooting rabbits or groundhogs or squirrels, shooting small critters. You don't need a lot of penetration or a lot of oomph like you would for a deer. And you shoot that at a deer, you probably will never find the deer. You might kill it, but you probably never find it. It doesn't make a big enough hole to do enough damage for it to die quickly. But if you're shooting, there's a big difference between the size of a rabbit and the size of a deer. Everybody understand that? So, littler hole for a littler animal, bigger hole for a bigger animal. These tips right here are intended for, and I don't want to ruin that one, so I'm going to do this to release it so that I don't do it the wrong way here. That right there, when it hits the animal, opens up and expands out like that. That's a 2-inch razor blade, basically. So as it penetrates the animal, that thing pops open, and it rips a hole that big around through the animal. So when you go through the lungs and the heart, it bleeds out within seconds. By the way, I've watched deer get hit by those things and never know they got hit. They go, what was that? And about 7 seconds later, they start going, and they're gone. They get a little wobbly, a little woozy, and say, ooh, something happened, and they're gone. It takes about 7 seconds to bleed an animal out to where they'll die. Now, just so you know, if they take off, they can run a long way in 7 seconds. But that is made for shooting. That's made for putting meat on the table. That's made for going out and killing something. The purpose of having these arrows is not for me to carry them around in my bow case, in my quiver. The purpose is, ouch, sorry, grabbed the wrong end of that thing. It's got a chisel tip on it, so it's just as sharp at the end as it is everywhere else. The purpose of these arrows is not to put them in a quiver and walk around and show everybody my arrows. The purpose of the arrow is to practice with it, and then, when hunting time comes, perform with it. Practice with this enough so that when the deer walks out at 30, 40, 50, 60 yards, when you pull the quick release on the bow, that one you know is going to hit the mark, and you take something home successfully, correct? So the purpose is not to carry it around. The purpose is to shoot it. The purpose of your children is not to shoot them. But I knew where some of you were thinking. I could see Scott's eyes. Now listen to me very carefully. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty hunter, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Why is that? So that the more arrows he has, the more shots he can take, and the more meat he can put in the freezer. More opportunities for success. Did you know? Listen to this statement. Arrows are for shooting, not for display. If I shot a 12-point buck with my bow, I'm not going to throw the deer away and put the arrow on display. That rack's going on the wall, one way or the other. Say why? Because that was the trophy, not that. That was the tool to get to the trophy. But this is not the trophy. Everybody understand that? Okay, now hang on here. You practice with these so that when the performance comes, you're able to do what you're supposed to do. Did you know you're supposed to practice with your children? You are to practice so that when they're adults, they know how to perform. Here's what happens. We fill our quiver with arrows and say, I did my job. I got a whole quiver full. Some people walk around 5, 10, 15, 20 kids. Can I tell you something? When I go to the woods, I got 3 or 4 arrows. Usually you don't get any more shots than one. You might get a second shot, rare to get a third shot. You're not going to use 15 arrows on one hunting trip. If you are, you're really in a bad spot and you're not a good hunter. You see, here's what's funny about this. This is something you may not know. Have you ever noticed when the fletchings on an arrow, there's always 2 different colors? Always. And that is so that you tune them to come through your rest and not hit the bow on the way out. And mine are hooked in such a way like this, and it'll go through and not hit my rest, nor will it hit the side of my bow. But also, if you look, my razor tip and that tip right there are in perfect line. Because if not, if this is twisted a quarter turn, when this thing comes out and starts turning, it's going to start doing this and it's going to go off course. It has to be tuned. So what you do is you put these on, you heat them up, and the glue releases in there, and you twist it to where it's tuned in, let it cool off, and it won't move anymore. You have to tune your arrows. If you shoot aluminum shaft arrows or metal shaft arrows, you have to make sure that they're straight. You have to heat them up and bend them and get them straight. If you shoot a metal shaft, you got to tune them so that they stay straight. If they're out of kilter, they're going to be off course. Can I tell you something? You're supposed to tune your kids up. You're supposed to get them in shooting shape so that when you let them go, when they go out on their own, they hit the mark that they're supposed to hit. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. You need to take care of them so they don't break. That's why you have a quiver. The quiver is not just to carry them and show, it's to transport it from point A to point B to take it to the field. If I leave these laying around the house and the dog starts chewing on them and breaking them and starts stepping on them and they crack, then they break and you tear your hands up when they break when you shoot them. Or you shoot them shaft on shaft and they crack and then they destroy you. Experience. Children are to be trained for life, not protected from life. Our job is to train our children to live life, not to be protected from life. My son made a statement we preached a few weeks ago. I love it. Our children are to be insulated, not isolated. We are to insulate them from wrong things, but not isolate them to where they're weird.
Amen.
You know, they have to go into the world and shop. They have to go into the world and interact. They're going to have to go into the world and work. They're going to have to go into the world and do business. You can't keep them from every worldly influence. So you shoot them, teach them how to hit the mark every time, and not vary from it so that they don't ruin their life. This is good stuff. That means this. Just because they get a boo-boo doesn't mean you got to take them to the hospital. Good night. My boys will tell you, rub dirt on it. Rub that thing. Smack your head, rub it, rub it, rub it. You say, does it fix it? No, but it gives them something to do other than cry. Why put dirt on it? Because that's all you're made out of anyway. Put dirt on it. It'll be all right. Amen, Brother Mike? That's right. Now, there comes a point in time, you know, when things hanging half off and it's, you know, like this. Okay, you got to take them to the hospital. They stick their finger in the mower and this part of their finger's hanging down here. And it looks like a cup that's going down this way, and there's nothing but, yeah, there's a fingernail there, and the rest of the finger's down here, you know? That's time to take them to the hospital and let them sew it up. But I'm glad I raised a boy that was a man enough at age 17, 18 when he did that. He said, Dad, do you have to tell him what happened? Can you tell him the neighbor's dog bit me? Please don't tell him what I did. I said, son, you have to tell him what you did. But why? I said, because. He said, but it was stupid. I said, I know it was, but they need to know how to help you. If the dog bit it, they're going to put different kind of medicines and shots in there, and you got grass and dirt and everything else in there. They got to clean it out. And they stuck numbing stuff in the end of his finger down here, and his whole finger went numb. And they were cleaning it out, squirting and pulling stuff out. And I thought, ooh, that hurts. And Brother Mike, I was doing fine. Then they held that thing in there, and they went with the needle and the thread. It went right through the middle of the fingernail. And I went, oh, son, you better be glad you cannot feel that. Because if you could right now, you'd be feeling like I am. Ooh. Man, you better be glad there's such a thing called Novocaine. Because you couldn't bite a stick hard enough not to scream on that one. Do you know you're not supposed to protect your children from death? I'm not talking about them dying. But I'm talking about, I deal with adults. They're 20 and 30 years old before they ever go to their first funeral. Lord have mercy. Well, I don't want my kids to experience death. Can I tell you something? I wanted my kids to experience death. They're around it a lot. Death is part of life.
Amen.
My children from very young ages, we would take, I mean babies. My kids would be toddlers, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they would know the person. And they would be in the casket and say, Daddy, can I touch their hand? Yes. Say, why? Because they need to know what the cold of death means. They need to realize that's just a shell. That's not that person. That person was in heaven. Children need to know how to get their feelings hurt.
Amen.
You know, it's not a tragic thing that a child's feelings get hurt. How many of you in the last month have had your feelings hurt? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Guess what? Yeah, Ellen's got hurt tonight because Marcia criticized her. I'm teasing. Now, may I say something? May I say something? You can't protect your children from having their feelings hurt. They need to learn how to take it. I think the stupidest thing in the world is now they don't even keep scores in sports because somebody might cry because they lost. Every kid in the world needs to know what it means to lose. Every kid in the world ought to earn their own grades and not hide them, except from their parents. A child needs to learn not they don't get everything they want. If you're the kind of parent or grandparent, let your kids or your grandkids write out everything they want and you buy everything they want, you're hurting your child. They need to learn to want something for a long time. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. The arrow does not control the bow. The bow controls the arrow. You know that arrow has no control of its own?
Amen.
You know, you can't throw it and kill anything. Now, I've had deer rubbing up against my ladder stand before. I had my son Jeff with me. I had three does. And they were scratching themselves on my ladder. And we're sitting 15 feet above them. And he was like, "Dad, drop your knife." "No, they're too little. I don't want to shoot that one." He said, "Well, I could drop an arrow." I mean, we're up there talking, and they're just rubbing up against that thing, scratching. He said, "No way." "Oh, yeah. But you can't throw one of these and kill them." Believe me, I would have several times. Children need taught to be an adult by obeying adults, not just the ones that they want to obey. All adults. Are we doing all right? If your children only obey you and nobody else, what good is it? I was talking to some of the administrators at the college this week, and I said, "By the way," I said, "if my daughter steps out of line, stick your foot in a certain part of her anatomy for me." And I said, "Then call me and let me know you did so that I can stick mine there too." She's 21 years old. I still believe in that.
Amen.
Did you know that's how you teach them to respect their boss? Did you know that's why you teach them to keep their opinion to themselves unless it's asked for? Verse number 5, "And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone his neighbor, and the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient." This is Brother Scott and I. We were at Lowe's yesterday, and we had to get a couple parts, and we hadn't been there a couple minutes, and some kid was throwing a hissy fit. And that kid was halfway across the store, but it sounded like it was in the next aisle. And it wasn't just a wail or a scream. It was, "I'm mad and I'm letting everybody know it" kind of scream. And it went on and went on and went on and went on. And I looked at Brother Scott and said, "Boy, am I glad I'm past that stage." And he looked at me and he said, "Phew." And I said, "Let me rephrase that. That would have never happened with one of mine." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "It would have lasted about that long." I said, "If they didn't shut up, my hand had been over their mouth and we'd have been in the parking lot in a hurry." I said, "My kids knew what the word yeah meant. And we took care of business. We had a board meeting. Board of Education was applied to the seat of knowledge." Amen. Children need taught to follow the ancients. That's not just the old people, but that means adults. Fashion is not to be a leader. Verse number 6. I'm going to make a statement here. Most of the people in the fashion industry is where your LGBTQ community comes from. It's not the name on the tag or the size on the tag. It's how modest are you in it. Anybody hear that?
Yes,
ladies, we don't care what the size is on the tag. Just cover it all up. Sorry, I don't know how else to say that. By the way, it's nobody's business what size it is anyway. And no man knows what that means anyway. I have seen females today that the label is bigger than their clothes anyway. Let me make this statement and I'm going to run very quickly here. The fashion industry has been the biggest promoter of the sodomites and the unisex gender neutrality movement for the last many decades. Mark my words. I gotta hurry. I made a promise and I'm breaking it. Next, adults need to train children to be adults, but not drive them above age-appropriate issues. 1 Corinthians 13, 11, hang on. 1 Corinthians 13, 11 says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." We need to teach children and teenagers to be adults, but a spoonful at a time, not a bucket load at a time.
Right.
I expect more out of a teenager than I do a 6-year-old.
Amen.
But I don't expect a teenager to know what a 50-year-old knows. Did you know a teenager is between an adult and a kid? They're closer to adulthood than they are childhood, but not a lot. You see, we need to teach them to make decisions and suffer the consequences. My wife was very good with this with our kids. She'd put three or four things out for breakfast. Choose what you want. But whatever you choose, you're eating it and you're not changing it. Once you picked it, you ate it. And, well, I didn't want it then. Too late. You already picked it. There are consequences with decisions. Children need to learn there are consequences with decisions. That means they need to learn to take a test and fail. You're not going to take what they intended to say. Too many parents want their kid to succeed so much or their grandkid to succeed so much, they imply, even though it's wrong, they twist it to say that it was right. We need to teach kids to love like adults, not love like kids. Here's how a child loves. I'll like you if you like me. How about this? I'll like you no matter whether you like me or not. Everybody doing okay? We need to teach them to hurt like an adult. There comes a point in time where you turn the tears off and suck it up and keep on going. I'm for that statement that I think every parent has made and I think is the most foolish statement in the world. You get done paddling a kid and say, okay, turn it off or I'm going to give you something to cry about. What the thing you just did? But it comes a point in time where the tears and the crying becomes too much. It's for attention. That's when you've got to turn it off. Because you're not going to get chewed out by a boss and sit there and cry and go to everybody and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. It's time to suck it up and go back to work. Boy, I'm having fun. We need to teach them to follow like an adult. How many of you have ever been led in the work world before? Raise your hand. Everybody in here. That means we need to teach our children how to be led by somebody other than with the same last name. It has to be done on a smaller scale. You don't take a 6-year-old out, Brother Mike, on the work site and make him run jackhammers. He might come out there and piddle with it a little bit, but you're not going to work him in a hole for 8 hours like you and I did one night in 100-degree weather. Both of us were ready to lose our Christianity that day. But can I tell you something? You learn to do it in spoonfuls. I've used this illustration recently. That's why there's two handles on a lawnmower usually. One for the little guy and one for the dad. And as the little guy gets bigger, he pushes more and more, and dad pushes less and less. Then it gets to the point where he can push the top one, and you just kind of guide it a little bit. Then he can push the whole thing himself. Then he leaves home, and you get self-propelled. I love it. You see, it's got to be age-appropriate. My children, from the time they could walk virtually, helped my wife do their own laundry. It may be they had to pick their clothes up and put it in the basket, but they picked their clothes up and put it in the basket. And then they got to the age where they could drag the basket to the wash machine. So they drug it to the washing machine after they filled it. Mom didn't pick it up. Then it got to the point where she would hold them up and they would take the stuff out of the basket and throw it in because they couldn't reach it. You know, they're short-legged like their mother. And there was only room on the stool for one. Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble for that one for sure. You got to make it age appropriate. It's amazing how many college kids get to college and can't do laundry. They don't know how to pay their bills. By the time my kids got to junior high and high school, they had to wake up to their own alarm. They had to do their own laundry, not because we didn't want to do it, but we were training them how to live like an adult. Boy, that's good stuff. Yes. Today's world's philosophy is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 3. We are not to accept the world's views. I hate to disappoint you. Everything in life is not about kids. Everything in the church is not going to be about kids. I'm for it. We'll have children's activities. We'll have a lot of children's Sunday school classes. We're going to have more bus routes and more kids, more teenagers, and I'm for it. But the adults are going to lead things. It's going to be about training our adults to train children how to become an adult. We're not going to get mean and nasty with a bus kid that's in church for just a little while and has never been taught how to behave because they didn't grow up like you grew up. Back off, shut your mouth, and give us time to train them. They'll come around. That's why I'm going to write on the walls of the bathroom first, not them. So that you can get your grumbling out of the way. And you say, why? Because, folks, our building is a tool. It's not a sanctuary. And there is no stained glass.
Amen.
You see, it used to be that children were seen and not heard. Now everything is about the child. Okay, you're going to get mad at me for this one, but it's okay. Focusing on the children has allowed education and government to become God. Teachers make ridiculous salaries. Sorry. We have made it to where the teaching position in the public school system is more important than just about anything. How many of you can work for 8 months a year and make $60,000 to $100,000 a year with full benefits year-round? And they want to protest and complain about it. So, well, it's teaching. It's the most important job there is. Ben Franklin didn't go to school past eighth grade. And most of you couldn't even read what he wrote because it's so far above your reading level. Everybody doing okay? Government car standards, you know, they're trying to make it that by 2020, every car that is produced in America for America has to have a backup camera in it. Can I tell you why? Because 17 children a year are backed over by a car. 17. Now listen to me. But they'll squawk and scream about putting a wall up to protect our whole country from drugs, murders, rapists, and people that come into our country and snatch children and women, take them to other countries to be sex slaves. That would be inhumane. That wouldn't be moral to put a wall up. But we'll increase the thing on cars and put backup cameras because 17 children were run over. By the way, I'm not for any child being backed up and run over. Well, if we can just save one child's life. How many do we let them kill in abortion? We need to take God's word and live it. I'm not against children. I love them. I love when the bus pulls up and they get jump off the bus and preach, I love you. And I shake every one of their hands. I look them in the eyeball. I spend just a couple seconds with them, and I love it and never want to change it. If I get too big to love on our kids, time to get yourself a new pastor. Just so you know. I love our teenagers. I love being around them. I'm going to youth conference with them. I'm taking to youth conference. Why? Because I know how to have fun. I'm ready for it. I've been planning it. And we're going to have fun. No problem. But I'm going to put as much time into training adults to train these people as anything. When we get our new building, we're going to start some adult classes before we start more kids' classes. Say, why? Because I got to train adults so that we can train the kids and the teenagers. I love Brother Mike being a Sunday school teacher. Fabulous. Brother Mike's going to teach adult Sunday school till Jesus comes. I love. By the way, talk about a man that influenced young people. The man that stood behind this pulpit and preached a few weeks ago, he'll tell you that man influenced him to stay in the ministry and get in the ministry.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. Made sure that he brought a gift all the way from Florida for him because Brother Mike made an impact on him. He said, Dad, man, Brother Mike was smart. He'd feed us till we couldn't eat anymore and then he'd beat us over the head. He said, man, he got us fat and happy, and then he could slap us around. He said, he was sharper than, I didn't even realize what he's doing until after it was over. Yeah, I said, he bought his way through it, but he taught you a lot of things. Yeah. Everything's not to be about the child. How about we grow up and be adults that know how to lead other adults and train other adults to train so that we can reach more children and reach more teenagers and reach more adults. Isaiah chapter 3 is a microcosm of our society today. Let's not fall into that trap. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I went over, but it felt like it was important. Children are arrows. They're not display models. They're there to be practiced with and shot so that when the time comes, they're able to hit the mark and do what they're supposed to do. May we do that in our churches.